Let's open our Bibles together, 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, open the scriptures together, reading verse number 1. Let's listen to the word of God. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag was and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire. And had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David said unto Abithar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abithar brought hither the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and the 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days ago I fell sick. And we made an invasion into the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belonged to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 men, young men, which rode upon camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there were nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is thy word, and we long for the touch of heaven upon our soul. Oh God, we ask of thee that thou wilt help us to preach the word tonight. Help us, our God, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and uplift the blessed Son of God. We claim the power of the blood of the Lamb tonight. We claim the empowerment and endowment of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, Lord, we pray that in everything, that Christ himself will have the preeminence. Remember those tonight who are sick, and those that are, Lord, not able to make it to thy house, or those whose hearts are heavy and broken and sad and lonely. Pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'll minister to them. Those that are listening in, we pray that by thy Spirit, take of thy word, write it upon thy word upon their hearts this night. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and all of it glory. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake.
Amen and amen.
You know, many times in David's life, David experienced days of great difficulty and great danger. Whenever you think about the story of David, you certainly can understand how that because of the schemes of Saul, how that there were so many times that David was in great danger and even at the very point of death. You know, he came to the place where in the midst of all of those challenges, instead of seeking the face of God, he took the situation into his own hands. He decided himself what to do instead of asking God. If you turn back to chapter 27 of this book of 1 Samuel and the verse number 1, it says, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day at the hand of Saul." Notice he said, in his own heart, he said, "I will perish at the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines." You know, sometimes whenever we're in trouble, sometimes our thinking is distorted. And the old devil comes in and he wants us to forget about seeking the face of God. We as God's children, we need to seek the face of God and ask the Lord what he wants us to do. Notice in verse 3 of chapter 27, David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men. And so we find that David steps outside of the will of God. And I'll tell you why. Because God told David, if you go back to chapter 22, and we're only touching this in passing, but this is what God had said in chapter 22 to David. "And the prophet Gad said unto David," chapter 2, verse 5, 22, verse 5, "Abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah." And God had told him to go into the land of Judah. God never rescinded that command to David. And yet David, whenever he was facing trouble and he was facing great opposition and he felt the very angel of death approaching him because of the schemes of Saul, he decided instead of staying in Judah that he would go to the Philistines and he would dwell among the enemies of the Lord. Now we find that in the midst of this situation, we find that there came a time whenever David was going to go with Achish, the king, there, and he was going to join him in the midst of the battle. God overruled in the midst of that. You can read it for yourself in the story. God overruled, and the rest of the Philistines wouldn't let David go. Thank God they wouldn't let David go. And David was sent back, and he came back to this city where his wives and also the soldiers' wives dwelt in. Friend, whenever they came back to the city of Ziklag, they found there was an awful thing had happened. They found that the city was burned with fire, that the Amalekites had come into the city, and they had taken David's wives and the children and the soldiers' wives, the 600 men that stood by David and soldiered with David. And they had left their wives behind, but they hadn't done anything about leaving a guard upon them. You know, friends, we need to guard our families. You and I need to be careful in guarding our homes in a day when the devil is up like a roaring lion and the devil is trying to destroy families. There's never been a day when hell has been let loose upon families like the devil is today, and he's trying to destroy families. And here we find the 600 men and David come back to the city of Ziklag. They'd left their wives, they'd got caught up in the battle, they'd got caught up in other things. And my, they had joined even with the Philistines, the enemy of God. And they had left their families unguarded. Now they came back and they found a sad thing had happened because their wives and their children were gone. And they weren't there and the city was burned and they didn't know what had happened. They didn't know what was the reality of the situation. All they could find was a city burned to the ground. And the families, the children, the wives were gone. You know, the Bible tells us naturally in verse number 4, chapter 30, "Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they could weep. No more power to weep." They were broken. And let me tell you, we need to be careful. We need to be so careful about our families. We need to guard our families. We need to guard our homes, friend. Here we find David realizes he got caught up with people he ought not to have been with. He got caught up in the midst of a battle. He had got caught up with the Philistines because of the schemes of Saul. Instead of seeking the face of God, instead of asking God, God, what do you want me to do? He just decided in his own heart. And sad to say, he wandered out of the will of God. And now his family's in danger. He realizes that his children are in danger because of his disobedience. And so we find that they weep together. It says in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, brokenhearted. You know, friends, tonight we could ask the question, where is your wandering child tonight? Tell me, are we greatly distressed over our unsaved loved ones? We're talking about this morning. Have we a broken heart over unsaved loved ones? Here were wives and children that were missing. And here were big men, soldiers, when they realized that their families were in danger. My, they sat down and they wept so hard that they hadn't even power to weep anymore. Talked about that this morning too. For sad to say, God's people have lost their tears. Their families are going to hell. Their loved ones are being lost. Friend, we're more interested than climbing the ladder of success. We're far more interested than getting a big post or an honored position or a big car or a big house or fancy things. Forget about the soul. And David was greatly distressed. And I'll tell you this, friend. Not only was David in danger now of the plans and schemes of Saul, the men were about to stone him. The 600 men that had stood with David, that had battled with David, that even wept, they were so overcome with a broken heart. The word of God says in verse 6, for the people spake of stoning him. You know what trouble a backslidden child of God can cause? What trouble in a family someone who walks out of the will of God can cause, friend? And what trouble David the king had brought to these people, or David had brought to these people as he was leading 600 men. And they turn in anger. You know, it's amazing how that these men that even fought with him and were his friends, whenever the day of trouble came, they turned their back on him and they turned against him. But friend, look at the end of verse 6, because I have good news. It says in the end of verse 6, it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Thank God, David, in the midst of trouble. And sometimes it takes that, friend, to put our feet back on the ground again. Sometimes it takes troubles and trials. Sometimes God in his sovereign mercy allows us to be faced in situations where our back's against the wall and there's nowhere else to turn to. Listen, David's best friends had turned on him now. The men that had fought with him, stood by his side when everybody else had gone. Now they're about to stone him. And David returns to the Lord. And David encouraged himself in the Lord, the Bible says. Let me tell you, my friend, David realized this fact. That before David could encourage himself in the Lord, friend, there has to be a conviction over his sin and his wandering. There has to be a contrition, there has to be a confession before there'll come a comfort and a consolation. If there's someone that has wandered away from God tonight, I want to tell you this. Thank God you can get back. Thank God there is a way back. But you've got to take the road of confession. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to acknowledge that you've wandered away from Him, that you've disobeyed Him, that you've wandered out of His will. Thank God, if you look now, let me show you just how much He got back. Look at verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord. Thank God He's back. I believe David could say, Lord, it's good to be home. You see, friend, he said in his heart, I'm going to perish if I stay at the schemes of Saul. And so he decided to walk a path of disobedience, but praise God now, he has returned. And instead of saying in his heart, it says as David inquired at the Lord, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Should I go after them? God says, go. And friend, let me tell you, David is now back in fellowship. He has been restored into fellowship with God. And I'll tell you something else. Listen to me. Not only was David back into fellowship with God, now he's back into fellowship with his 600 soldiers. God brings them back. The men that were about to stone him. The men that were rebellious against him, instead of now rebelling against him, they know that this man is seeking the face of God. There's something different about David. He's in touch with God again. Now that he's in touch with God, friends, let me tell you, God give him peace with his soldier lads. And you read the word of God, friend, and the Bible tells us that God said, pursue. Look at verse 9. And David went, he and the 600 men that were with him. Thank God they're back in fellowship. And they walk side by side. It's good to get right with God, friend, isn't it? It's good to get back to the place of fellowship when you're in touch with God. And David pursues, having sought the guidance of the Lord, knowing the will of God. David now pursues after the Amalekites. And the 600 men come with him. Now, listen to me. It's not an easy road. Because I can see David here, and he's just going forth. He knows he's in the will of God, and they come to a brook. They come to a brook, Besor. Something happens. Their faith's tested. And friend, let me tell you, your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tried. And 200 of the men, 200 of them, they were faint. They were so tired. They were so weary. These men could go no further. And they said, David, we can't go with you. It's not we don't want to go with you. We're so faint, we cannot go. He's facing this enemy, the Amalekites, this vicious enemy. And 200 men are weary. 200 men are faint. He meets another difficulty. He meets another obstacle. Friend, let me tell you this. David was in touch with God and he had a heart of compassion. And he didn't force the men to go on. He knew it was real. He understood their frailty. He understood their weakness. It wasn't they didn't want to go into the battle. They couldn't go any further. The Bible says in verse 10, for 200 men abode behind, which were so faint. They were so faint. This is not an excuse for not fighting the battle. These men had gone so far, they'd gone with them as far as they could. But they couldn't take a step further. You know, God gives David a loving heart. David goes on. It's amazing now, you see, this man's walking in the will of God. Yes, his faith's tested. But I want to tell you, even though he was down 200 men, he's the Lord. And you see, one with God's a majority. Never feel, friend, there's nobody with you. Even should you stand alone in the midst of the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, the Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob, he is our refuge. And notice when you come to verse 11, something happens. You see, David is following after an enemy. He doesn't really know who they are because he wasn't there. He wasn't at home when the enemy came. He doesn't know how many there are of them. He doesn't know where they are. And yet he says, he's asked God, should I pursue? And God says to go, and so he's willing to go. He's just going with God. And in the midst of it, God provides a need. Now go to verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field. And they brought him to David. And friend, I want you to notice tonight, in this story now that we have before us, we have a most beautiful picture in this young man of the gospel of Christ. In this young man that was lying in the field. And that's what I want us to dwell on tonight, very quickly, as God gives us power just in the closing moments of this meeting. Notice his desperate condition here. It says in verse number 11, and they give him bread to eat and they give him drink water because he had neither drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. Here's a young lad and he's lying in the field. Look at him. I just mention these things in passing because here we see a picture of the unconverted. The unsaved and the unconverted man. First of all, he was an Egyptian. Egypt in the scripture speaks to us of the world. He was a worldling. He was lying in the field. You know the Bible of the wheat and the tares, and what did the Lord Jesus say? He said the field is the world. It's the world. Here's a young lad and he's lying out there in the world. He's in the world. He's off the world. You know, whenever Israel would think of Egypt, it was a place of bondage. It was a place of suffering. It was a place of misery. It was a place of pain. Let me tell you, out in this old world tonight, let me tell you, it's a place of all those things. It's a place of misery. Look around the world tonight and look at the miseries in the world. Look around the world and look at the pain that's in the world. Look at around the world tonight. Look at the bondage. See humanity, men and women walking here, there, and yonder, friend. And the faces are expressionless. They're empty. They're empty. Lying there in that field, let me tell you, it wasn't a fertile field. It was an old, barren, dried up field. And the young man was lying there. And friend, that's exactly where the Lord finds sinners. He finds them in the field. He finds them in the world. And they're worldlings. They're off the world. They're off their father, the devil. Notice something else if you go to verse 13. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt. He confesses that's who he is. I am a young man of Egypt. Let me tell you, my friend, if you're going to be saved, you've got to acknowledge who you are. There's no use trying to pretend you're something. You've got to acknowledge you're a sinner. I'm a young man of Egypt. I'm a worldling. The Word of God tells us that we're born in sin. And we're shapen in iniquity. That's where God found us all. Sinners. And friend, if ever you're going to do business with God, you've got to admit that. There's no use you pretending anything else. That's exactly where you are and what you are. He said, I'm a young man. Notice, a young man. What does the word of God say? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Let me tell you, from our birth, friend, we're sinners. We're sinners. God says there is no difference. Doesn't matter what your background is. No matter what your religion is. Doesn't matter, my friend, what your color is. Doesn't matter what your creed is. The word of God says there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no difference in any man or woman that's in this service or listening across the world tonight. God reminds us that every one of us from our youth upward, our hearts are evil continually. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, from his childhood. We're born in sin, and we're shaping iniquity. Who are you, young man? They asked. David asked. He says, I'm a young man of Egypt. He says, I'm a servant to the Amalekite. He says, I'm a slave. And friend, the Amalekite, Amalek in Scripture, was a picture of the flesh. And this young man's been honest. He says, I'm a slave to the flesh. Fleshly desires, fleshly lusts. I'm a slave to them. I'm in bondage to them. Friend, let me tell you, that's what sin does. Sin enslaves. You know, people tell us, I couldn't become a Christian because it would restrict my freedom. Let me tell you, my friend, in sin, there is no freedom. You're a slave to sin. You're a servant of sin. You'll be obedient to your master. And here's a young man, and he said this, I am a servant, I am a slave, I'm in bondage to my master. But notice what else he says. He says, my master left me. He left me. He abandoned me. Tell me, why did he abandon him, friend? Because he was no more used to. Because the Bible says he fell sick. And he was no more use. You see, when the devil has used you, and when the devil has abused you, I want to tell you, he leave you in the gutter. That's where he leave you. My master left me. And friends, let me tell you, like the prodigal son, you go out and you serve the lusts of the flesh, and you go out and you serve your master, the devil. And then when it comes to you have nothing left, and you've spent all and you be in want, no man gave unto him. Nobody wanted him. He says, my master left me. I was a tool for my master. But my master left me. I was no more use. Think of Judas Iscariot, friend. Judas Iscariot sat in the very presence of the Son of God, and for 30 pieces of silver, Judas Iscariot sold the blessed Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. The devil promised him, oh my, you'll really enjoy this money. You see, he was a thief. The devil made him promises. Oh, the contentment. Oh, the happiness it would bring him. And then when he realized he had betrayed the innocent blood, and he realized that he had sinned against the God of heaven, he
says, I betrayed the innocent blood. And he threw down the money. And the man that he had done the deal with, the man that had coaxed him into selling Christ for 30 pieces of silver, they laughed at him and they said, what's that to us? Judas Iscariot turned and walked away. The master left me. And he went out friendless. And he went out forsaken. And he went out into the night. And he hanged himself. Hopeless. Yes, my master left me, he said. And why did your master leave you? Notice what it says in verse 13. He says, because 3 days are gone, I fell sick. And friend, that's exactly the picture of the sinner. Sick through a fall. I fell sick. Sick through a fall. And whenever we think about sin and the disease of sin as it works in our hearts, let me tell you, my friend, here was a young man and he once was healthy, but something happened, sin in his life. He had served his master till he could serve him no more. And he fell sick. And he's lying there in the field and he's famishing. There's nobody gives unto him. Let me tell you, sin will destroy your health. Sin will destroy your body. Here's a young man, he's so weak. Natural fact, friend. Close by, there was a well. And he didn't know it was there. And even if he did, he couldn't make his way to it. He was that weak. And sinner, let me tell you this, that's exactly what the devil intends to do with you. To destroy you. Something else about him. Look at verse 14. He says, we made an invasion. Now notice the word we. He said, we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag. Fire. He knew he was guilty. He didn't say they did it. He says we did it. As a young man was there. And friend, I tell you before God, if you're going to be saved tonight, if you're going to be right with God, if you're going to get to heaven, you've got to confess your guilt. You've got to confess your sin. How easy it is for men and women to say, you know, sin's the brat that nobody wants to own. It's somebody else's sin, somebody else's fault, somebody else's wrongdoing. I want to tell you, friend, sin's that which is in your heart, and sin is in my heart. Because we're born in sin. But there's another little thought about this fella. Because look at verse 12. And they give him a piece of cake of figs and 2 clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and nights. Friend, he was perishing. He was dying of hunger. Men and women, young people tonight, you're dying. I think of a young photographer. An amazing young fellow, because I knew him powerful well. He was out there in America. He came home. A friend of mine, Pam, and others were in Belfast on Thursday night at an award session there. And John was there. Friday morning was in God's eternity, 51 years of age. We don't know what a day brings forth. We don't know what tonight will bring forth. Let me tell you, my friend, it's not somebody else in the news. Think of those three people in the aircraft. In that helicopter. They suggested they were here for a shooting. Visit here to Northern Ireland. And they went down to the Mourns. I don't know what age they were, but let me tell you, my friend, they started the day in the fullness of health. There was nothing wrong as far as the earth could see or the eye could see. But something went wrong with that old helicopter and she came down. The three are out in God's eternity tonight. They didn't know when they were putting on their clothes that somebody else will take them off. And neither do you. This young man was dying. He was perishing. In the field. And so is the sinner tonight. Very quickly. Notice his deliverance considered. Because I love this. It says in verse number 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field. And they brought him to David. Thank God somebody found him. You know, God uses instruments. It says, and they. That was the soldiers. They found him in the field. And friend, God uses instruments. That's you and me. God uses instruments just like you and me. And God wants to use us. And we've been talking about that this last Sabbath mornings. How that God desires to use us. How that the fields are white and they're ready to harvest. But the laborers are few. Thank God somebody found them. Somebody went after them. And there as they were traveling and as they were walking along, they saw this poor body lying in the field. He was famishing, perishing, dying. And his master had left him. Thank God, God has gone after us. He didn't leave us to ourselves. For had God left us to ourselves, friend, we would be hopeless. And they found him because God works through servants. Do you remember the good shepherd? He left the 99 and went after the one until he found it. It says, rejoice with me, for I found the sheep that was lost. And they brought him to David. Notice, they had to bring him. They had to carry him. Why? Because he was too ill, he was too weak. He was helpless. He was hopeless of himself. No ability of himself. Let me tell you, friend. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. John 6:44. And I pray tonight that the Spirit of God, friend, will open your eyes. That the Spirit of God will reveal Christ to you. The Spirit of God will bring you. Bring you to Jesus. Christ is the only answer. Christ is the only one that can save. Here's a lad, a young Egyptian, and he's lying half dead, and he's hopeless, and he's helpless. Listen, my friend, he deserved death. When they brought him to David, David could have killed him. Because he admits out of his own mouth, we burned Ziklag with fire. He deserved to die. Sinner, so do you and me. We deserve to die. That's the amazing grace of God. That God in grace and God in mercy has reached down to poor lost sinners like you and me. And instead of sending us to hell, God provided a ransom. God provided a way of salvation whereby lost sinners can be saved, and that for all eternity. And friends, what did David do? They give him bread and they give him water. He deserved to die. But thank God they give him sustenance to live. I'll tell you, that's what the Lord will do for you tonight. He'll give you eternal life.
you're on your way to eternal death. The wages of your sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And thank God these men, they give him food and they give him water. He had been dying there, lying in the field, hopeless and helpless, but praise God, they not only brought him to David, but praise God, they fed him. Why didn't God give them men a big heart? Remember, these are the same men that were so broken over their wives and their families. And they were so crying and so distressed, they were going to stone David. And now they're feeding this young lad who admits, we burned Ziklag with fire. It's only God can do that. It's only God can give a heart to David like that. I am to his men like that. It's only God can give you and me a heart like that, friend. That reaches out to the lost souls of men and women. Thank God our men in the open air and those standing open air. Thank God. A couple of Sundays ago, they were in Draperstown. Thank God last Sunday, they were in Gulladuff. Thank God today, they were in Ballache. But let me tell you, my friend, the gospel of redeeming grace is for lost souls of men and women, irrespective of who they are. God give us a love for sinners. Very quickly, notice his direct confession. To whom belongest thou? And he confessed it. He says, I am. I'm that young man. I'm not Egyptian. I'm not servant of the Amalekite. I'm the one my master left. I was there at the burning of Ziklag. He confessed. He came clean with David. Thank God. David gave him food. Fed him. Let me tell you what you have to do, sinner. You've got to come clean with God. That's right. You've got to come clean with God. Stop the fooling. Stop the messing. Stop the pretending. Stop the show. Stop the performance. You want to get right with God tonight, I want to tell you, you've got to come clean with God. Thank God you'll find he'll abundantly pardon. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let me tell you, friend, I'll tell you how this happened. Look at verse 15. David said unto him, know what that young man did? That young man threw himself on the mercy of David. He did. He threw himself on the mercy of David. And friend, that's exactly what you have to do tonight. You've got to throw yourself on the mercy of God. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt never kill me, neither kill me, nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. He threw himself on David's mercy. Thank God tonight you come to God and confess your sin. I have good news for you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. He will abundantly pardon. Here's my last thought. Here's his deliberate choice. Verse 16. And when he had brought him down, thank God he made a choice. He started out serving the Amalekite, but he's changed sides. He has. He no longer wanted to go back to his old master. His master had left him. He had served him well, but his master left him dying. He no longer wanted his old master. Praise God. He goes with David. You can go with God tonight. He came into this service a sinner. And friend, you're under your master, and the master's the devil. Are you tired of sinning? Are you tired of your sin and serving the old master? You willing to take the side of the Lord? Who's on the Lord's side? You willing to take your stand for God and the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise God. The wonder is this. Just like David, God is willing to take up the world's castaways. He can make something beautiful out of your life. And here's the evidence of the work of grace in this man's heart. He brought him down. He brought David down to where? To the Amalekites. And they were drinking, and they were eating, and they were dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels. And they fled. You know, the young man didn't want to die. The young man didn't want to go back to his old ways. He wanted to go with David. Will you go with the Lord tonight, young man? Will you go with him? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Thank God David got back to the place of power. Thank God David got back to the place of blessing. And you know what happened? He became a blessing again. And God gave him back everything. You read the story. For David came back, and all the wives, and all the children, aye, and all the spoil, they come back. Another wee part of the story is this. When the men come back with all the spoil, and David was dividing it out, the 400 men said, "That's for us." "No," says David. Do you remember the 200? They didn't stop because they wanted to stop. They were wearied and they were tired. And David had a big heart because God has a big heart for him. And even the 200 men that could go no further, they got some of the spoil too. Boy, the Lord is good, isn't he? The Lord's so good. I've decided to follow Jesus, friend. Listen, will you follow the Lord? Thank God he'll never leave you, not be like the old Amalekite master. He says, my master left me. No, no. Thank God my master will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Pray that you'll make it a blessing to everyone that's heard it tonight. Grant that our God, there may be those in their hearts that are tired and fed up with their sin and the old devil's ways, the old sinful ways. Tired of sin and strain, Lord. And now I'm coming home. As your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, in this meeting, let me tell you before God, you too can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You too, my friend, can serve one who's a loving, gracious master. One who'll take you to heaven and home. Will you come to him?
just as I am, without one plea. For that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. And if there's someone tonight in the closing second of this meeting, father, mother, son, or daughter, and you say to me, preacher, I need to get right with God. I need to get my life sorted out. Friend, you do. Then come to Jesus. Then God will save you. As we sing the verse, if there's one tonight, sinner or backslider, just lift that hand to indicate that desire as we sing. Preacher, lead me to Christ. O Lamb of God, I come. One little verse and we're through. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Is there someone tonight in this meeting, you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. I'd love to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Will you lead me to Christ? Up there in the gallery or downstairs, is there someone, just lift that hand toward heaven. You mean business with God, friend. Thank God he'll do business in your heart. O Lamb of God, I come. I'm going to close with a word of prayer, but I'll be in the minister's room. Please don't leave without the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You're here to help you, point you the way of God's salvation. Don't leave lonely in sin. But come to the Savior and find peace and pardon within. Heavenly Father, write thy word upon every heart. Do an eternal work in the hearts of young people and older people. Give deciding grace tonight. Save the lost, restore the fallen, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We're here to help you. Dear anxious soul, don't leave without the Lord. Come and speak to us. I'll be in the minister's room. Slip around the side of the building or through the door at the front here. Or if those who are listening in, you can give us a call. 028-796-31456. May God give you grace to come. Amen.